Well, again, a happy Easter to all of you, and I extend blessings to you on behalf of all the staff from both parishes that I serve, especially from Father Hernandez, the associate pastor as well. Indeed, he is risen. Christ is risen, and we rejoice, and we are glad. And I'd like to be able to say that it's a sunny, bright sort of spring day outside, but this is Easter in Wisconsin, so he's risen here too, even if it doesn't feel like it outside today in the weather. But that's all right. It's warm here in God's house with all of our joy for this day. So we hear from Luke's Gospel today, we heard it last night too at the great solemn vigil, which was a beautiful Mass. We hear about the story of the first day of the week. That's today, Sunday, the first day of the week. We know that early in the morning, the women, the faithful women who didn't run, they came back to the tomb. And they came back to, if you will, the scene of the accident, the tragedy, the train wreck, to come to the tomb with their spices, to try and preserve as best they could the body of the Lord, who they were convinced was still lying in the earth, put there only a couple days before. And understand that the tomb, where he's buried, is only a stone's throw away from Calvary, where he was crucified. So for them, they really are coming back to a place of tragedy and difficulty and pain and loss and hardship. How hard that must have been. So in that spirit, then, we can understand a little bit what these two figures, these dazzling white figures, said to the women. They say something very interesting to them and good for us to ponder this many years later, too. They ask a question. They say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead?" They were in a cemetery, really, you know. So the question makes total sense. They were looking around for Jesus, but he was, of course, not there. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The question calls out to all of us, too, doesn't it? Across so many centuries and times and places and around the world today, it's the question that should be on all of our hearts as faithful men and women who seek to believe in Jesus, who is crucified and risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? We all do it, you know. I certainly do, anyway. There is this pattern that goes on. It is our tendency to try and look for real life among things that don't give it. To some kind of deep, abiding happiness and satisfaction, we try and find it from things that cannot give it to us. So in the Gospels, when Jesus talks about being the life, the way, the truth, and the life, especially in John's Gospel. Life is something deep, something abiding, something powerful. It's not just, you know, breathing and having air and blood running through our bodies like we're just sort of alive, like a resuscitated corpse. No, the kind of life that Jesus is talking about exists on a new plane, a different kind of way to exist. The kind of full life and livelihood and zeal and fullness that this side of the grave we don't really experience. Jesus promises us a life of a whole different kind, a very abiding and powerful kind. So if we're looking for life among things that are dead, we're not going to be satisfied. Like those women, they came and they were surprised. They didn't realize what had happened. So today, how do we usually end up seeking the living among things that are dead? The living among the dead. That happens on a personal level. It happens on the level of institutions as well. On a personal level, to seek the living among the dead is to engage in sin, isn't it? That's what sin is. It is trying to derive satisfaction from things that ultimately only give it to us in a very temporary, passing way. So think about the culture, right? Think about what you see in the newspaper, or what you hear beamed across televisions and a little iPhone and iPad screens. The message is that if you want to be happy, if you want to have life, then buy something. Consume. Buy an Apple Watch. Buy a car. Buy a new phone. Buy this, buy that. Buy a dessert. Buy another entree. Buy a second this or a third that, a new outfit. All those things are us trying to find the living life among the dead. The good things, but they don't really give us deep, abiding life, do they? Or maybe on a more destructive level. Think about addicts. Think about people who drink too much or who gamble or who look at pornography who are too caught up in their careers, who mistreat spouses and friends or neighbors, who prowl about the streets committing crimes, who steal, who lie, who cheat, all those shadowy things of the world that we often get up caught up into. That is trying to seek the living among the dead, to get happiness where it cannot possibly be gotten. What about on the level of institutions? The thing of it is that families do this too. Parishes do this. Communities do it. Nations do this. In the case of those, what happens is that sometimes there are traditions and customs that have to be let go that can't sustain or exist any longer. And if trying to hang on to them too tightly, then what we are doing is we're doing what these women did in the gospel. They're looking for the living, something life-giving, among the dead that can't give it anymore. So in the Archdiocese in Milwaukee, we hear a lot these days about parish consolidations and changes in clergy and moving around of this and schools and whatnot. All of that is an invitation to try and let go of things that must be let go of. We can't hang on to things that must be done. That's trying to seek the living among the dead. Or in families, right? Families change. Traditions change too. Kids grow up. People die. People are born. People move. Customs come and go. And again, families must move forward in grace, letting go of things instead of trying to hang on to things that cannot give life anymore. True for countries. Maybe our nation is invited right now to do the same thing, or perhaps West Bend as a city is. So life is, if we're really going to have an abundance, about letting go of some things once in a while. And yet, too often we're always looking for the living among the dead. So it begs the question, right on this Easter Sunday morning, we could ask ourselves, you know, when the outside world that really needs to see God, needs to think that faith really matters, when the outside world that apparently, according to today's journal article, about 1/4 of Americans don't pray or believe in God anymore, that's a staggeringly high number, all those people have to meet the Lord somehow. And so they come into contact with our parish here, St. Francis Cabrini or St. Mary's, or they come into contact with your family, or with me as a person, or you as a person. And the question we can ask is, when they meet us, are they finding the living, or are they finding the dead? Are we the living, living among the dead of the culture, or are we dead along with them? That's the question of Easter Sunday, if you really come right down to it. Am I alive or not? If the question is hard for us, if it's confusing for us at all, then Easter kind of comes to their rescue. It reminds us of very few important things. If for one, I am baptized, you are baptized. That means that I'm alive with the grace of Christ Jesus that courses through my veins. I've been grafted onto the vine, the true vine, given the truth and the light of the gospel. I've been fed by the Eucharist and nourished and sustained by the church's teachings and by our tradition, my family and friends who help me and teach me and guide me and encourage me to serve others and not myself. All of that is the deep life that the gospel, that Jesus promises us. So baptism matters, my friends. Baptism is the difference between life and death. People who are not baptized out there in the world or even in the parks, my own families and friends, they don't share in the same way that we do the abiding life of Jesus Christ. In baptism, I'm his son, or I'm his daughter. I am an adopted brother or sister of the Lord Jesus, so therefore I can have with him the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven in its fullness. That's powerful stuff. So, am I alive? Yes, I am, and so are you. And Easter Sunday morning is a reminder of it every single year, and indeed, every single Sunday is a powerful reminder of it. That's why we must be here without fail or be at a church somewhere on Sunday to receive the Holy Eucharist. Why? Because that's what keeps us alive, you see. Otherwise, we start seeking the living life among the dead, dead things of this world. So no question, if this is difficult for us, if we're not sure, then we come to Easter and we are enlivened by the truth that Christ is risen, that even death could not hold him bound. And I have a share in that, inheritance in that. It's amazing. So the culture out there, right, when they meet me and they meet you looking for God, to kind of quote back what the good sisters told us a couple weeks ago in our mission, they said about me and about you that maybe today I am the only gospel that these people will ever hear or read or meet. Maybe we are the only face of Jesus Christ that someone's going to see today. So it is crucial that we be alive, alive, and decide that what we do here in this Mass, we do here as Christians, really does matter. That's how Peter was so bold in our first reading. He gets up and he preaches to the courtyard of the world, like he's on trial, saying, "I believe in this man who you put to death." Such conviction, such boldness, because he understood what real life means and where it comes from, not among the dead things, but from the one who is life itself, our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, let's not look for the living among the dead anymore. If we've been doing that, then throw it away, God says, and come back to him in his fullness, and let's celebrate and be fully alive in Christ Jesus, who is life itself. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia.